I remember flipping through my grandmother's worn notebook, the pages yellowed and smelling of dried herbs. She had copied down prayers and rituals from her own mother, who learned them from a woman in the next village. These weren't just words on paper. They were a map of how people once made sense of illness, protection, and hope. In Slavic folk tradition, healing was rarely a simple matter of medicine. It involved water, wood, bread, and spoken charms. The rituals below come from a collection of folk practices recorded by a healer named Ludmila Radova. They offer a glimpse into a worldview where the boundary between the physical and spiritual was thin. The water ritual for unclear ailments. One of the most striking rituals is for when a person cannot say exactly what hurts. According to the text, the healer leads the sick person outside three times at dawn, makes them look into a basin of spring water, and whispers a charm. The charm calls on 77 angels and archangels, beginning with Michael and Gabriel. It asks them to drive out the eyes of illness through doors and gates, over moss and swamps, to hayfields. The number 77 is interesting. In Slavic folklore, numbers like 7, 12, and 40 carry symbolic weight. 77 might represent completeness or a vast host of spiritual helpers. The mention of the Aladar stone, a mythical stone in Russian legends, also ties the ritual to older, pre-Christian beliefs mixed with Christian figures like the Virgin Mary. Another version of the charm is read directly over a person suffering from acute pain. It speaks of the pain ceasing and health returning as the moon wanes. The belief that the moon's phases affect healing is common in many cultures. Here it's stated plainly, if the charm doesn't work immediately, the illness will leave once the moon begins to wane. Protective charms and the red silk pouch. Beyond curing illness, folk magic offered ways to prevent harm. One ritual instructs the reader to sew a small pouch from red silk, place two wood chips inside, one from a birch, one from an oak, and tie it with black cord using three knots. While tying, the healer speaks a charm asking God for protection from witches, sorcerers, and envious people. The choice of trees is not random. Birch and oak are sacred in Slavic tradition. Birch is associated with feminine energy, purification, and new beginnings. Oak represents strength, endurance, and the masculine divine. Together, they create a balance. The red silk and black cord also carry symbolic meanings: red for life and protection, black for binding and warding off evil. I once tried making a small pouch like this, not because I believed it would protect me, but because the act of sewing and focusing on intention felt grounding. Whether or not the charm works as folklore claims, there is something meditative about the process. Women's healing and the silver bowl. A separate ritual addresses chronic women's illnesses. It calls for finding a source of clean water, a spring, mountain river, or lake, or using holy water blessed in a church. The water is poured into a silver bowl, which folklore says preserves positive energy and repels negativity. At the new moon, the healer stands over the bowl and speaks a charm three times, asking the water to heal the woman's body and free her from suffering. Silver has long been associated with purity and antimicrobial properties, though in folk tradition its power is magical rather than scientific. The new moon, a time of new beginnings, adds another layer of symbolism. The water is then given to the sick woman to drink. The remainder is sprinkled on her body. What strikes me about these rituals is their reliance on natural elements: water, wood, bread, the moon. They don't require expensive tools or special powers. They ask for presence, attention, and a belief that words spoken with intention can make a difference. Whether or not that's true, the rituals themselves are beautiful artifacts of human resilience.